for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Genesis chapter 1, this is of course Pentecost Sunday, if you didn't know, and we're continuing to look at the person of the Holy Spirit. Title this morning is Pentecost and Beyond. We need another Pentecost, and some might ask, well, what's wrong with the old one? Nothing much wrong with the old one, just that it's not old, it's ever fresh, it's ever new. We can't rerun the day of Pentecost like you can't rerun your first birthday. It was a one-off event, but it is a continual present reality. And that's what Paul says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being continually in a present continuous tense, to be open, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Genesis 1, Pentecost and beyond. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And there was light. Buzz Lightyear, that famous astronaut of Toy Story fame, used a catchphrase that most of us will recognize, and it was, of course, to infinity and beyond. So this morning is Pentecost and beyond. But before we go to Pentecost and go beyond, we need to go before. And that's why we're turning firstly to Genesis chapter 1. Even as we open up the Bible, at the very beginning, we're immediately introduced to the presence and the work of the Spirit of God. What are we to understand about him? Well, three things from this passage. There are so many more things, so many other things that we could say about the Spirit. But three things. He is present, he is poised, and he is powerful. First of all, he's present. In the beginning, here he is. He was there before the beginning. You know, we had a beginning. God never had a beginning. Isn't that wonderful about God? He never had a beginning. There was never a time when he was not. There was never a time when someone came along and said, oh, let's create or make God. No, he's always been. Ponder that just for a minute. Everything that we see round about us had a beginning. You had a beginning. Even if it was just a twinkle in your daddy's eye, that was the beginning. You came into life. You had a start. There was a time when you were not, and then you were. Gloriously you appeared. But God has always been, forever been, uncreated, always there, ever present. I don't know what that does to your brain. It fries mine. He was never created. He's always been. What do you mean? Like, for an awful long time? No. Before time. God created time. Even before there was such a thing as time, God was. He is the I Am, ever present, forever. And so we see here in the beginning, there He is, the Spirit. He was before the beginning, not a created force or an impersonal power, but rather we are introduced to the Spirit, who is co-eternal with the Father and the Son, ever present, omni, everywhere present. David says in Psalm 139, verse 7, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" And he says, "If I make my bed here, if I go there to the other side of the sea, if I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. We can't escape." He is present. And here's the wonderful thing that we understand and that we know and that we experience as Christians today, that He is present with us. Not only as an abstract sense that God is everywhere. Yes, He is everywhere. But He is present with us. Not only alongside us, but in us. It's awesome. So He is present. The second thing we see from Genesis is that He is poised. Now that word has got some various meanings, has it? You know, poised, to be dignified. And certainly the Spirit is absolutely dignified. But I'm using this word poised in the sense that He is, what the word says there, hovering. Interesting word. And the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. It tells us that He is poised. What does that mean? He is ready. He is really, really, absolutely ready. And how ready He is. Think about that for a second. He is present and He is poised. He is keenly, sharply ready. For what? What's He poised for? What's He ready to do? Well, before we get to that question, question is for us, are we ready? You see, He is always ready. He is hovering, poised, present. Ready. Are we ready to receive? Are we ready with open arms to welcome Him and His person, His power, His presence in our lives, in our church, in our community, beyond our community, into our world? He's ready. A simple thought, but it really should give us huge encouragement. And confidence and comfort. God is not distant and aloof and uncaring. He hasn't gone for a nap. He's intimately involved, absolutely, minutely interested in your life, knows absolutely everything about you. And He's poised. The Spirit of God is ready, hovering over the surface of the waters. He is ready to spring into action, to fulfill the plans and purposes and promises of the Father. Wonderful. And when the word of the Father is spoken, He will do. He will fulfill. He will enact instantly without delay. The Spirit is never late. The Spirit is never caught unawares. The Spirit is never underprepared. The Spirit is never under-resourced. The Spirit is never caught napping. He is hovering. This ruach, the Hebrew word, for wind or breath. Now notice, this wind is not a byproduct of the Spirit. The wind is the Spirit, not an inanimate wind, a personal force, a person. Notice something about this wind, this breath. It's hovering. Now, it's not natural for wind to hover, is it? Wind flows and it goes in a certain direction. Wind doesn't hover. So this is not a natural wind. We're not talking about a natural thing, a weather pattern, or an impersonal force. We are talking about the supernatural presence of a supernatural person. We are talking about the agent of God, the Spirit of God who gets things done. He's the one who gets things done. Every family needs one like that, don't they? Every family needs somebody. It's great to talk. It's great to have great plans and all the rest of it. But you need somebody to say, let's get it done. Let's do it. And here he is, the Spirit of God, the one who takes the plan of the Father that is articulated in the Son and makes it a reality. His presence. He is poised and he is powerful. You know, it takes awesome power to make awesome words a reality, doesn't it? You say to some people, oh, well, they're all words, big talk, no action. God has some pretty big words, awesome words. His plan was to create universes beyond which we can even see at this moment in time. He had wonderful words, plans, purposes. But to fulfill awesome plans and purposes, you need an awesomely powerful agent to be able to do that. And here's the wonderful thing. That God created everything from nothing. From nothing. I don't know if we can really understand nothing. Proper nothing. Absolutely nothing. The absence of anything. Can you imagine that? What do you imagine when you think about nothing? You probably think about darkness or blackness. Well, that's something, isn't it? Blackness and darkness. You can't think of nothing. But out of nothing, God created everything. So what's the point in this? The point in this is that nothing is not a problem for God. Now that sounds like really bad grammar. But it's really actually great theology. Nothing is not a problem to God. Paul writing to the Roman church, speaking of Abraham, and he says that God, Romans 4:17, God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Who do you know that can do that? My wife can do that. In various scenarios. But God truly is the only one that can call, speak into existence, into reality, tangible reality, the things that do not yet exist. Come on, get excited a wee bit this morning. What are the possibilities for that? Think about it. Think about it in your own life. Think about it in your unsaved relatives, sons, grandchildren, fathers, mothers. Think about it. That God is the God who brings into existence what does not yet exist at this moment in time. Our God, who is present, who is poised, who is powerful. Think of people in your life. You've been praying and you think, well, there's nothing happening. Praying for someone to be saved and there's nothing happening. There's no sign. That's not a problem to God. For He creates out of nothing. Because He created out of your nothing and my nothing, my darkness. And as it says in the scriptures there, the without form and void and darkness, He created out of that in your life and in mine a life that's worth living. I'll speak for myself. I had an existence, not a life. Gave me a life out of nothing, out of that which was formless and empty and dark. The Father planned, the Son spoke, the Spirit initiated life. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is the will of the Father. Spoken in and through the Son, and it is always fulfilled by the Spirit. Trinitarian. We need to be continually reminded of this. That's why we need to know the will of God and the Word of God. We don't just read our Bibles to have a quiet time and do our Christian duty. We need to come to the Bible eager to know what the Father has willed. What has He willed? And we need to come to the Bible eager to know what the Son has spoken. Why? Why do we need to know what the Father has willed and be eager to know what the Son has spoken? For this reason, for we know that what the Father has willed and what the Son has spoken is exactly what the Spirit will do. He will do those things. He will make those things come real. Actual in our lives. So whatever the Father has willed, it is articulated in the Word that is the Son, and the Spirit makes those things real in our experience. And God said, what did God say? He said, let there be light. Immediately, right away, without any delay, no pause, there was light. Hallelujah. This is the Trinity. This is our God. This is the one who is for us, not against us. Do you need God's light on any issue? Do you need any light in your life? Is it a bit dark, a bit confused, a bit lacking in some way, without form and void and empty? Well, do we dare to believe that the Spirit is poised? He is poised to pounce, to fulfill the purposes and the promises of God. We see the same Trinitarian pattern when it comes to the day of Pentecost. The will of the Father, the Word of the Son, and the work of the Spirit. In Luke 24:49, Jesus speaking, and He says this who's disciples. And behold, I'm sending, I, Jesus, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Trinitarian, wonderful. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father, the will and purpose of the Father, articulated through the Word that is the Son, and made real by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, 4 and 5. And while they were staying with them, he ordered them, Jesus ordered them, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. This is the will of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. So the Father's promise, the Son is articulating the promise. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wow. And then we get to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And still think about Genesis. And suddenly, there came from heaven a what? What was it? A sound like what? Jingle bells? Or a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Now, we weren't around in Genesis. Maybe some of you were. Sorry. But if we had been there, I wonder if we would have heard this. A mighty rushing wind as the Spirit of God rushed to do the will of the Father and to fulfill the spoken word of the Son. And here they are. Now I think this is where we kind of get a wee bit lost as far as the Spirit, because all kinds of symbolism is attached to him. He's a mighty rushing wind. It kind of sounds impersonal, but it's not meant to be impersonal. Let's visit the world of snooker just for a second. Alex somebody Higgins. So many elderly people watch snooker. My mother-in-law loves the snooker when it's on. So what's Alex's middle name? Hurricane. Does that mean that Alex is actually a literal hurricane? No, it means that that was his style of play. That was his characteristics, because he learnt snooker in a place where you had to put two bob in the meter and it was on a timer. So if you're going to have a decent game, you had to be quick. So that's how he got his rhythm, and that's how he developed. Alex Hurricane Higgins. Jimmy. Yeah, we need to have a word with that. He's far too knowledgeable about these things. Jimmy Whirlwind White. Again, is he a literal word? No, he's not. It's his style. It's his characteristics. How Ronnie. Come on, Helen, you know. I know you know. Ronnie the Rocket. The Rocket. Is he a rocket? I mean, is he going to be standing somewhere in North Korea anytime soon and being tested, you know? He's not, is he? It's his character. It's how he goes about his business. The hurricane, the whirlwind, and the rocket. And so when we're speaking about the Holy Spirit as a mighty rushing wind, we're not saying that he is literally just a wind, a weather force, a storm. This is part of his character, who he is. He is absolutely goes rushing forth, unstoppable, to fulfill the will of the Father and the spoken word of the Son and make sure that it gets fulfilled in the lives of God's people. Isn't that great? That's his character. Nothing will stop him from fulfilling the will and the purposes of God. And it says that they were filled. The entire house was filled where they were sitting. And then divided tongues as of fire. Fire appeared to them and rested on them. Again, symbolism relates to the Spirit. He's not literally a fire. But this is what he is like. It's a characteristic. It's language so that we can begin to understand what he is like. Yes, our God is a consuming fire. Well, he's not literally a fire in that sense of, you know, you can strike a match, that match will burn out. This is his character. He's fiery in the right sense of the word, full of life, zest. And he initiates life. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So here it is. The disciples, they prayed. The Spirit is poised. The purpose and the promise of the Father is released. It's spoken by the enthroned Son in heaven. And he says, this is the day. This is the hour. This is the moment. And as they worship and as they wait and as they anticipate, suddenly he comes. In his time, suddenly the Spirit. What a powerful combination, wind and fire. No wonder the gospel spread like wildfire. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were swept into the kingdom. Then thousands here, thousands there, hundreds there, ones and twos there. Signs and wonders, miracles, demonstrations of the Spirit's power. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the Acts was written by Luke, who writes to a man called Theophilus. Theophilus means a lover of God. How appropriate that Luke should write to a lover of God about the work that Jesus continues to do through the Spirit. He says in verse 1 of Acts 1, Luke, of course, wrote his gospel, followed it up with the book, with Acts. And he says, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. But the implication is that the Spirit continues to do what Jesus began to do. And here we have it. The parallels are clear, at least to me. In Genesis 1, Acts chapter 2. Just as the Spirit was there in creation, he's there in the new creation. The Spirit was hovering over those 120 or so disciples, overshadowing them, watching, ready to activate the transforming power of the spoken word of God in their lives. And he hovers over us. Do you believe that? Oh yes, he does live within us. He is within us. But he hovers over us also. He's poised and ready to initiate and confirm God's word spoken into our hearts. And God spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. And the Spirit swoops and brings the divine word into definite, tangible reality. And so today, is the Spirit of God still present, poised, and powerful? Or is his power somehow diminished, lessened? Has it ebbed away? Has he ceased in our day to do what the Bible says that he has always done? Are the needs in our time somehow not as urgent or desperate as they were in days gone by? No, I don't think so. We awake to news this morning of yet another terrorist attack, this time in London. The newspapers are continually telling us the story of the state of this world. The need is great. If the Holy Spirit is not present and poised and powerful, then we are lost. And so is the world. He is not only present and poised and powerful. The Bible says that he is poured out. Again, another image that might think, oh, impersonal. No, he is poured out. He is active. He is the living God. And he's not gone away, you know. Folks, we can't settle for anything less than the promise of the Father, can we? The promise of the Father. It's the promise of God, the Father we're talking about, not some sort of denominational kind of experience of the Spirit, but what the Bible says, that God has promised and God has willed to his people. The promise of the Father, spoken over us and to us by the sure word of the Son. And the Spirit is poised to fulfill that in our lives today. It says of those in Acts on the day of Pentecost, oh, they're just drunk. They've had a wee bit too much to drink. You know, drunkenness brings chaos, doesn't it? Brings absolute chaos to families, to lives, to whole communities. That's what drunkenness brings. Spirit of God brings order. Not a rigid order like the graveyard, but an order that is so beautiful to see. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Peter standing up and saying, this is what this is about. For God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh in those days. Your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And even on my male and female servants. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit. What are in those days? Those days are the last days. Aren't these days the last days? So folks, this morning, I know in many ways I'm preaching to the converted. We love the Spirit. We love what he does. He's present. He's poised. He's ready to bless. He's ready to fulfill the will of the Father, the word of the Son. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, let's be open to him. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said that the Spirit will take of the things that he has done and said and will make it real to us. Why does the Holy Spirit want to make the cross of Jesus so real to us? Why? Why does he want to do that? So that it does become real to us. We're talking about depths of reality that we've not touched. We're talking about depths of reality that the Spirit of God wants to open up to us that we've never even thought about. Waters to swim in. Waters that you need to launch out into. This morning, oh, let's embrace the presence. Let's anticipate the poised Spirit who is ready, more ready than we are. And let's receive his power because he has been poured out. and is being poured out in these days. Let's pray, shall we? Oh Lord, still our hearts in the presence of the Lord this morning. We believe that the Holy Spirit takes up the word to make it real. And we check out our own hearts because we need to know that we've got a hunger for the word of God. The Holy Spirit will stir us and He will convict us of our indifference. Our indifference and our shallowness regarding the things of God. He'll convict us not to condemn us, but to take hold of our hand and say, let's go deeper. Let's go further. Let's go higher. And it's not only for our gratification. It's for the sake of the lost, isn't it? Father, we bow in your presence this morning. And we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would give us a heart to love and to know you. We pray that you would give us a desire for you, that we would not be satisfied with less than you have promised to us. Give us this understanding, Lord, that you delight to give good gifts to your children. And it is based on your living word. Father, you spoke it. Lord Jesus, you bought it. And Holy Spirit, you want to bring it to us. So help us to open up our hearts.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.